With the environment in focus, I'm Tom Pelton. In 1987, and again in 2000, governors of the Chesapeake Bay region states signed agreements to reduce pollution and restore the health of the nation's largest estuary. These agreements contained lofty language and feel-good voluntary programs, but none of the actual regulations that would be necessary to achieve the cleanup goals. As a result, by most measures, the Chesapeake Bay's health got worse, not better, between 1987 and 2011. According to data from the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science, the bay's overall health declined over this quarter century, as did the amount of dissolved oxygen in the bay. While algae blooms increased, water clarity worsened, and underwater grasses were starved of light, and much of it died. But then, something miraculous happened 5 years ago, a turnaround. Most of these important trends reversed and started heading in a positive direction. Between 2011 and 2014, the bay's overall health improved from a 38 score out of 100 to a 53, according to a recent University of Maryland report card on the bay. Bill Dennison is vice president of the university's Center for Environmental Science.
This is one of the best grades we've gotten, the third best, in fact, in 30 years, and the best that we've done in the last 10 years. So that's pretty good news.
Now, some things are not getting better for the bay. For example, phosphorus pollution from the manure of the poultry industry on Maryland's eastern shore, which has continued to grow. But several other important bay indicators have ticked upward the last 4 years, including blue crab populations, oyster harvests, dissolved oxygen levels, and water clarity, according to the University of Maryland data. Aquatic grasses, which are a key habitat for blue crabs, expanded by an impressive 50% from 60,000 acres in 2011 to 90,000 acres in 2015. Here's Dennison again.
Last year was just a banner year for grasses around the bay. So I think we built some resilience in the ecosystem.
Why the turnaround? It would be tempting to attribute the reversal to EPA's decision in 2010 to impose pollution limits on the bay states. But really, the improvements have roots that stretch back before that. About a quarter of the nitrogen pollution in the bay comes from air pollution. And in 2006, Maryland lawmakers passed the strongest air pollution control law in America. 3 years later, the Obama administration started imposing new regulations on air pollution from coal-fired power plants and vehicles. Because of the rise of hydraulic fracturing for natural gas, this cleaner-burning fuel became cheaper than coal for electric utilities, which meant less air pollution falling into the bay. Also important is that, over the last decade, Maryland gradually has upgraded about two-thirds of its 75 largest sewage treatment plants using money from former Governor Robert Ehrlich's 2004 flush tax. And the real estate crash in 2008 helped to curb suburban sprawl. Dennison said a lot more work needs to be done.
We have these new challenges, climate change, increased population, and emergent contaminants that we have to deal with. We can't be complacent, but we can certainly be optimistic, and we can take heart in the fact that we can move the needle. This bay can start to recover some of its former glory.
With the environment in focus, I'm Tom Pelton of the Environmental Integrity Project, sponsored by the Able Foundation. This program is independently owned, and the views expressed are solely my own.